This is KVNF's regional newscast for Friday, April 9th. I'm Gavin Dahl. A new 55,000-square-foot showroom, warehouse, office, and distribution space broke ground at the Colorado Outdoors mixed-use development in Montrose yesterday. The project is touting a potential $200 million economic impact in the region. There was a groundbreaking ceremony on Monday for the new City of Montrose Public Safety Complex downtown. Police Chief Blaine Hall told the Montrose Press he's grateful for the community's support as the complex is funded by a voter-approved city sales tax increase. Doug Glaspell is the new mayor of Montrose. This week, the city council nominated him to the position, succeeding Barbara Bynum. The public elects the five members of the council, and the council selects a mayor each year as part of Colorado's home rule system. Colorado's newly formed Independent Congressional Redistricting Commission faces months-long delays in receiving U.S. Census data that could derail its mission. But the newly appointed commission has generated plenty of its own drama already. On Monday, commissioners voted unanimously to remove Republican Danny Moore from his role as chair of the group, citing concerns about his ability to lead the panel impartially and maintain public confidence in the commission. The Colorado Sun reports Moore touted unfounded claims of election fraud in the 2020 election and referred to COVID as the, quote, China virus on social media. One commissioner said his post, quote, created a distraction from our work from the get-go. Moore will remain a member of the 12-person commission made up of four Republicans, four Democrats, and four unaffiliated voters. Colorado firefighters are warning this year's fire conditions will be just as bad, if not worse, than last year when the state saw record-breaking blazes. As KVNF's Scott Franz reports, the state is already ramping up its resources.
State lawmakers have approved tens of millions of dollars for new helicopters and mitigation projects. And because drought conditions are expected to worsen, Colorado has signed longer contracts for larger air tankers. Public Safety Director Stan Hilke is also pleading with residents to be even more careful this year.
Chains dragging on the ground, cigarettes, chainsaws, fireworks, welding. All of these things might be very necessary tools for the day-to-day activities of people, but you also have to be very aware of the devastation that one small thing can cause.
Colorado is also expecting a surge of outdoor recreation following a winter of coronavirus restrictions. Hikers are being encouraged to be aware of the fire danger and plan accordingly. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Ann Landman is a Grand Junction resident who blogs about politics and local government. She spent many years at the American Lung Association of Colorado and also did a long stint at the Center for Media and Democracy. Her website, annlandmanblog.com, features the tagline, "What's Really Going On in Western Colorado?" and explores her interests in local and state shenanigans, consumer scams, and elections. Thanks for speaking with KVNF, Ann.
Thanks for having me on.
I invited you to share analysis of the Grand Junction municipal election from this week. It's newsworthy for more than just the repeal of the retail marijuana ban. Current council member Rick Taggart was reelected. Voters also picked Dennis Simpson, Abe Herman, and Randall Wrights. Talk about the significance of voters rejecting the conservative candidates citywide. Were you surprised?
Well, I actually was quite surprised. I didn't think it would turn out this way, Gavin. I expected that we'd go through a period where races were just more competitive here rather than having this sea change to rejecting all of the conservative slate. And these four did run as a slate. They were endorsed by a local right-wing extremist group called Stand for the Constitution. That group was pretty open about supporting these four candidates. And it was surprising to me that all four of these folks were rejected. And by such substantial margins, I was checking the margins, and it was by average of about 20% gap. The tightest one was about an 8% spread, and that was between Greg Hates and Dennis Simpson. It was decisive, and I never thought that it would happen this quickly. But there has been a slow shift towards people being more Democratic in this area, particularly in the core of downtown.
Candidate Mark McAllister, a lighting designer and former Mesa County Republican Party official, made headlines earlier this year because of his distasteful social media activities. What specifically got him into trouble?
Posting false xenophobic and racist memes on his Facebook account. One of them was a meme that showed President Trump putting a noose around President Obama's head with the word treason written in big letters in the upper corner. In another post that McAllister put up, compared a photo of California Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who is a black congresswoman, to an alien character from the 1988 Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Predator. And he also shared a doctored photograph of a riot in Greece that falsely portrayed an Antifa supporter attacking a police officer, but in fact, logos were superimposed over this photo to make it look as though this was some Antifa supporter.
From people you've spoken to in Grand Junction, do you think this kind of behavior might have impacted some voters?
I think it's possible. We have a large proportion of independent voters in town who do tend to lean conservative, but responsible voters that we have here go looking for information on the candidates because, let's face it, city council candidates are by their nature kind of obscure and unknown. And so what I try to do in my blog is do the kind of research that a diligent person would be able to do, going to the links that the city provided on their website for the candidates, their campaign pages, their personal Facebook pages. And I start investigating and researching whether anything's been published about these folks. And he claimed not to have posted some of these memes, but yet his name was on top of them very clearly, that they had come from his account.
Well, before we go, how have you witnessed attitudes toward marijuana changing in your community since voters opted to ban dispensaries 10 years ago? Of course, this week, that was reversed.
Right, it was. And retail marijuana was approved here by a margin of 58% to 42%. That's a 16-point difference. That really represents a sea change from years past. But I think people have had an opportunity to see that the places near us that have approved it, the incorporated towns of Palisade and Dubec, have benefited from it quite substantially. Dubec has been making more money from marijuana than they ever made from oil and gas, and they've put more money in their municipal coffers and have managed to build and improve sewers and sidewalks. And Palisade has benefited by pulling people off the interstate and getting more business in town, where there has not been a concomitant increase in crime. People have had 10 years or so to see how this has played out in the nearby municipalities that have approved it and decided that we should start to be getting in on some of the financial benefits, benefits to the economy, jobs, and allied retail, you know, support businesses like manufacturing, growing, agricultural suppliers. I mean, this could really benefit us in this area, and I think people finally saw that.
That's blogger Ann Landman talking about the evolution of the political scene in the city of Grand Junction. You can find all of her writing and research online at annlandmanblog.com, and we'll link to her on our website, kvnf.org. Thanks for joining me, Ann.
Thanks, Gavin. I appreciate it.
That does it for KVNF's regional newscast for Friday. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.